So it gives me great pleasure to introduce you guys to Logan Tabor from the band All the Pretty Things. Welcome to the show, Logan.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely my pleasure. This is I like doing these sort of interviews because it's kind of a discovery one for me. You know, I get a chance to interview sort of known, you know, international bands, if you will. And I really enjoy talking to bands that are emerging, like yourselves.
Yes.
I mean, first and foremost, I'm loving the music that I'm hearing. You've got a couple of, I got about six, I think six tracks I counted up on the streaming services and stuff like that. We'll go through those in a bit. But I was wondering, before we could do that, if we could get your band's like origin story, if you will, where you came from, and you know, what kind of brings you guys together.
Yeah, so Tristan, who used to tour around with Chiodos, and Worth, who toured with He Is Legend, and I've had a number of other bands, and he's a producer who's worked with all kinds of people. They were kind of met when they were helping another local guy here in North Carolina set up his studio, and they just kind of hit it off. And Tristan had some ideas I think he wanted to lay down, and you know, they did that. They put Worth's ideas on top of it, and we kept kind of stacking stuff on it until it really started to sound like a legitimate, viable rock band. And then we started getting more serious about it. You know, this is something we've always wanted to keep doing. Like it's kind of a calling that I don't think any of us are ever truly going to let go of. So we got pretty serious about it, and then that's when we contacted Jeremy, the drummer. He plays with Alisana, and Will, the guy who used to play bass for Amorosa. And we got them on board, and you know, just kind of started putting our ducks in a row, you know, making more songs, getting them mixed, getting photos taken, you know, started creating promo material, social media accounts, and spreading the word as best we could. And that's really the thing.
Nice. And as far as, I mean, people who haven't heard you guys, obviously they can switch this off and go listen to you now. Where would you sort of your inspirations lie? Because I kind of hear the sort of, it's kind of an emotive rock sort of theme you've got going with there. You've got, oh, I'm just trying to think of bands that you, like, I don't like to name drop bands, but yeah, but like Doetry, stuff like that, you know, just kind of got those big hard rock songs. And I was just curious of actually, where do your guys' inspirations sort of lie?
Man, I think between all of us, it's probably all over the place. You know, we're lovers of music of all kinds. We all had our separate upbringings, obviously, where our parents would, like my dad would give me Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel to listen to, and weird like fusion jazz stuff to listen to and all that. And, you know, other people's parents gave them Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones and all that. And I feel like as we were all coming up, you know, this scene rock, this like hard rock emo screamo thing was going on, and we all had a lot of influence by that, and we were all involved in that in some capacity. And for me, man, it was like after I did, when I was younger, I did my heavier music, and I, you know, then I went through, I think what everyone does when they're about 20 and go through a giant Radiohead phase.
Oh yeah.
And definitely. Oh yeah. So I wanted to play like ambient, heady, like experimental stuff that like still good, well-constructed songs, but you know, a lot more experimental sounds going on, like just really seeing what we could do with our instruments. And that was great. And it was very fulfilling, and we wrote some cool songs, but I think always in the back of my mind, man, this is kind of like where I wanted to be with like the heavy rock thing. And I think we all do have an affinity for pop music. As strange as that may sound, it's just, you know, there's something incredibly appealing about the idea of being able to write and record a song that you know for a fact is formatted and produced in such a way that it could appeal to a greater number of people than what you would do if you just, it's like when we were doing the experimental stuff, we allowed ourselves to run off the rails and just any idea that we had, it's like, dude, just get as crazy with it as you can. And now it's kind of our, you know, self-given responsibility to rein that in a little bit, like still be creative, still be exploratory, and but like know how to deliver it. You know, that's I think that's something we've all wanted to accomplish separately, and now we're together trying to accomplish that, you know.
No, that's fantastic. I mean, I'm sort of, I used to live out, well, say sort of, I used to live in the States, and knowing what the radio culture is like there, with the dedicated rock stations and things like that, where we do kind of have them here, don't get me wrong, but they're not national. They're not Clear Channel, who, or whoever the other big brand are. Broadcasting brand, I can't remember. But yeah, having multiple rock channels out there, and you're right, having like the kind of pop sensibilities with the tracks, the format, the kind of the way to sort of still feel like what you're doing is what you want to do, but also making it, well, like say, accessible, you know, or you know, and there's a lot to be said about that. It goes a long way, especially for musicians getting radio play, you know, and that can fund the musician's life. That can keep you guys touring. That can keep you guys sort of going away from, you know, if you have to have like a day job or something, it can kind of bring you out of that because you're still getting, you know, circulation with it, you know, or syndication, I think the word.
And it's like a different type of fulfillment,
Yeah.
you know, because I've always gotten fulfillment out of any type of music I've played, but there is a certain feeling you get when you finally step back from a song that you know you wanted to make like a radio hit out of,
Yeah.
and like hearing like, hey, that's me, that like that's me and my buds, that we did something that could potentially reach a lot of people because we, you know, we crafted it to be so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean definitely it's something that a lot of, I don't know, there's I mean there's mixed sort of opinions on that sort of thing. Myself and I don't know, a few other people that are absolutely fine with it. I was a musician once. Well, I was in a band once. I said I'm still a musician, but I just don't do it for money or anything anymore. But at the time, when you're writing songs, you know that there's got to be a way of it, you know, unless you are deliberately sort of, you know, progressive, jazz, fusion, whatever you want to be on that front, and you want to take it off on a mad tangent, weird time signature that's not really doesn't really follow, but it works for the fans of the music. But if you know, and I've had that conversation with bands I've been in. What do we want to do? You know, where do we want to go? How are we gonna, you know, do we want to write that song, that big song, that one song if we can? And it's a rarity, you know, I didn't manage it. I mean, I got a few songs that kind of did all right, you know, and we got in, you know, featured in magazines and on the radio and all that kind of stuff at the time. But you know, it's sort of it was in the heavy music genre. And we were more on the nu metal side of things. So there was an affinity for it, but that went out of style, sort of out by the time we were about two albums in. So it kind of, you know, you start sort of digging a different well at that point almost. Or you
I
wait for
played
it,
that game too.
yeah. Or you wait for it to come back round, which it's doing right now. So
Perfect
yeah,
timing.
exactly. And we released an album earlier this year, so it was kind of fun. We just found a bunch of
Nice.
albums, but we put it out. Anyway, enough about me. But yeah, no, I mean that's really cool. It's just sort of it's nice to sort of like hear that from another musician as well, just sort of, you know, where you wanted to sort of make that, like you have that influence on it of listening. Obviously, like you said, when you grew up, you had the likes of Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel and the other guys had Zeppelin and stuff like that. So it's two different sides of the coin. I mean, you had Phil Collins; he was writing rock songs, with Genesis as well. Like, not forget Genesis.
Love some Genesis. Love me some Genesis.
Yeah, and you know they're essentially progressive rock, if you look on a lot of their catalog. But then he made, you know, he came out with a bunch of tracks that he did with them, and then he did solo stuff. And as you know, history is there for that guy. So it definitely, you know, it's definitely a route on that front. But let's talk about your music. A couple of tracks that are up that I really like that you have out at the moment. I don't know, they're not in any particular order. I've just kind of written them down here, but I really love Teenage Lines. Cool track. Chin Up Kid as well. But you've got Weeping Season out as well. This is not to negate your other songs. I did like them as well, but I'm just highlighting my
Yeah.
ones.
Do your thing, right?
It's all right. Every Now and Then, I Want You Back and A New Forever. Those are the six that I found, or seven. One, two. Seven. That's
Six,
six. That was the six I found on there. So, I mean, going on that, you've released to the service, the streaming services and whatnot, you've released six singles. Is that a plan that you were going to continue doing, or are you planning on an extended EP, if you will, or a full album?
So all this work that we're putting out, there'll be 10 tracks to start with when it's
Okay.
all said and done. And it is all intended to be one body of work. So it will be, from a marketing standpoint, we've decided to roll them out one at a time so we could give them the proper attention, like promoting each song individually on social media or telling our friends about it, or just so that it all gets its day in the sun.
Yeah.
But yeah, once they're all out, we'll condense everything down into an album for listeners to have on Spotify that'll have its own dedicated artwork, and it'll all be in our chosen sequence
Yeah.
order. So like, because that's another art form in itself, right?
It
Is like
is.
choosing
It is, yeah.
the right order for your tracks. And so right now it's a little bit all over the place, just because we want to be constantly giving our listeners something new.
Yeah.
But eventually it will be a self-contained album.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. No, I was just, I mean, that's, I really like that style of stuff because there's a lot of bands that are saying, oh, we're only going to release singles, we're only going to release EPs, or we're not going to release an album, or they'll only release an album. But I like the idea of giving every song that you write a place or its time, if you will, like you said, because there's a lot of albums that go out and, you know, you've got your concentration singles, if you will. We've got three, maybe four tracks that may become music videos or may get their individual promotion. But having all like 10 tracks that you guys are going to have, and each of them having their own time to simmer, to sit, to people to listen to. And then once you form that album, like you say, the trick is where you put everything. You know, what goes where, and you know what. You know, and there's whole arguments your bands can have.
And we will.
yeah. And I remember the conversations I've had in the past, and yeah, just sort of like just it's just those opinions flying around of why it should go there, why it should go here. But that's something you know tackle in a few months' time. but yeah, I mean that I like that tactic. You've got those tracks you've got out now are really strong, and that's testament because you've also got a lot of bands that put out albums that have filler on there, or what they call filler. You know, work has gone into some of the songs, but sometimes there's a lot of extending of interludes or extending of songs where they don't need to be extended, or you know, stuff like that, just to fill the time or fill the gap that is required to be an album. You know, punk bands don't care about that. They'll release a 40-track album that lasts 20 minutes. but you know, if you're going for that 10 song, hour long, you know, experience, if you will, because I mean, I love albums, like as structured stuff. You know, I don't mind singles, obviously, because you get to hear the band, but I like to buy an album that kind of tells me something. And you know, I've got these turntables at the back here aren't just for show. They actually do play records. And I, like I say, I do enjoy listening to complete albums because, like you say, it's an artist's body of work, and you know, you need to tell your story. And I mean, going through the songs that you've written so far, we've got released so far, is there, you know, with the album that you've got in mind, I don't know if you've recorded the other four tracks or yet or not or anything, but is there, you know, is there a story going through them, or is that something you're waiting for the release of the album for to kind of put out?
I don't know if it's one consistent story. I think nothing's too far off from anything else, to where if you needed to tie it together, and make it feel like one story, it probably could hold its weight there. But it's mostly like each song had a kind of its own thing going on from an instrumental standpoint. So I felt like it needed to have its own thing going on from a lyrical melodic standpoint. And yeah, I just, man, got a lot of stuff in here that I need to get out. So I can't limit myself necessarily to like one or two topics per album. And it's like, and like I said, there is a bit of a Venn diagram, with each song, like kind of crosses over and crosses
Yeah.
over. But I'd like to think we're trying to explore a big chunk of like the modern human condition, you know, from a lyrical standpoint. And sometimes it sounds fantastical, sometimes it sounds practical. But it's all sort of addressing the big picture of what I think the average person kind of goes through in their daily life as they're growing up and doing this thing that we're all doing.
And that's where the trick is, like getting it to be relatable and having those experiences in the form of song. It's a big thing. It's a very complicated thing. But you're like me, I've got a lot of ideas up here, and my hairs escape me too, because there's so many
Well,
ideas there at all.
thoughts drove the hair away, man.
Exactly. So I'm gonna tell my kids. But yeah, no, I mean that's fantastic. I look forward to hearing the complete album. Obviously, I'm keeping an eye on your progress as you go along, and I'd like to have you back on the show eventually as well once you've got that out. But we can sort that out later. That's fine. Just because, I mean, you're a relatively like recent band, for me anyway. I mean, you're brand new for me. So far, I'm not sure on your gigging history or anything like that. But have you got any like highlights so far of where you've managed to get?
I think individually we've all gotten to a lot of different places. We would write a very strange conjoined biography if we had to. But there's stuff coming up I can't announce yet. But definitely good stuff coming up this summer, probably this fall as well. And that'll be our first go at it as a touring band. We spend most of our energy thus far focusing on writing the best songs we can, producing them as well as we can, and just playing this funny little tactical game that you got to play in a modern society with social media and, distribution outlets and all that. And it takes a lot. It literally takes an army, and we're lucky we have people like Jamie to support us and guide us through that muck. And then, everybody's got their individual strengths. Worth's an audio producer. I'm a video editor. Tristan's a graphic designer. I mean, everybody just kind of has like a role that conveniently fills a gap that we needed to be filled in like the behind the scenes working of the band. So we've been focusing a lot on that, and now we're really focusing on showcasing it, getting it all out there directly in front of people, and there will be some tours coming up. So as soon as we get those announcements cleared, we'll definitely hit you up and let you.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of listenership in the States because, like I say, I used to live there, and this is where I started this show, in fact. Yeah, my main listenership is out in the States, and hopefully, people that will listen to your music will hit you
Excellent.
up in wherever they are, or wherever you end up going, touring wise, festival wise, anything like that, whatever state you might be on. So yeah, I mean, everyone, go check out their music. It's on Apple Music, it's on Spotify, it's on YouTube Music, whichever
All the
platform that
stuff.
you prefer. You know, the usual stuff. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. But I've got a couple of questions left for you, if that's all right, and I'll let you get on with the rest of your interviews and whatnot.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm
So
enjoying it.
fantastic. So what I want to find out from you, are your three most pivotal albums from your past. So not necessarily your favorite ones. So everyone can really knock off like your top five albums or whatever, but I'm looking for the ones that you kind of mentioned some of them earlier when you grew up, you were listening to certain, or your parents were listening to certain things. But if there was a particular album that you went, oh my God, this is what I want to do. This is kind of, I want to be in the music industry. I want to do something, you know, along those lines.
So starting way back, God, how far back do I want to go? It could get embarrassing.
Oh no, go with it. You'd be surprised what some of the I've had some big like heavy extreme metal bands on this thing, and some of the albums they come up with are
Oh, I'm
totally diverse from where they are now. So
Right. Man, I do remember when that very first Used album came out. Man, I just found myself in seventh and eighth grade both years, like to and from school. I had my portable CD player in my giant cargo pant pocket, And I mean, to and from and in between classes and before the teacher got to the class, I mean, I was listening to that thing on repeat. I had never heard anything like it. It obviously spawned a great career for those guys. And dude, it just, there was something so like visceral about the way he would just go for it at that period of time. I mean, they were young and they were virile and they were just ready to go, man. And he was talking about stuff like, if you listen to that first album, his lyrics on that first album have this sense of like torture to them, and like this conflict that was really intriguing to me as a kid who was like entering the hormonal stages of his young middle school life. So from like a hard rock standpoint, that did a lot for me. I think later on down the road, there's this album by a pretty famous guy named Damien Rice.
Heard of him.
But yeah, he had a huge career a while back, and I never really listened to him. And then he disappeared for like 8 years. From what I read, he's an Irish born
Yes, yeah.
musician, but he was spending time in Iceland for that 8 years,
Yeah.
like kind of doing work on himself internally and that sort of thing. And he came back out with this album called My Favorite Faded Fantasy that he did with Rick Rubin. And there's just some wisdom from a lyrical standpoint on there that I hold very close to me. But there's also orchestral arrangements on that thing. Like him and Rick Rubin really went in. It was like a totally different version of Damien Rice. It did not, to my knowledge, get the credit I think it deserved, not even nearly the credit it deserved. But I truly think that that album is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. And then what would a third one be? That's tough. I mean, there's always In Rainbows by Radiohead. I mean, like, no, it doesn't matter how old I get, man. When they came out swinging with that thing, it was just like they're back and they mean it. And it was like a bunch of songs that they had like hidden from the record label or whatever they had to do so
Yeah.
that nobody could touch them over the years. And man, they really hit a home run with that thing. I remember 2008, I think, is when that came out, or maybe late 2007. But the year 2008, I remember me and all my friends. It's like our whole year that year was In Rainbows. They were like, Radiohead was going back on tour. We were all only listening to that album. And it just became like this funny little cultural thing that like everyone I ever ran into was talking about that album the whole year. It was wild.
Fantastic. No, I mean, three fantastic artists there. The Used, I remember that first album. I remember the live show they had as well. I caught them at a couple of festivals here. Damien Rice, yeah, he was all over the radio here and all over the TV here for a long time. And then, like I said, he did disappear. And then, yeah, that album with Rick Rubin. I mean, Rick Rubin's a special producer. He can bring out a totally different side to.
He's got the thing, man, the touch. I swear, he's a magical person.
One of those things. I don't know. He's one of those people. And then Radiohead. Yes, Radiohead there. From the, they're just down the road from me here. So originally, probably not anymore. But yeah, no, they're a fantastic band. I mean, they're sort of like OK Computer and it bend the bends and stuff like that are just iconic albums,
Yeah, absolutely.
Rainbows as well. But finally, Logan, what are your hobbies away from music? What do you do to sort of separate yourself from the musical world, if you will.
Man, so by trade, outside of music, the only other thing I do to make money is I edit films, usually indie stuff, which I find to be a blessing, given the current major production company climate and that sort of thing. But I love film. I love editing film, like talking about it, analyzing it, that sort of thing. So, dude, honestly, my life outside of music to some could probably seem rather boring because I do watch a lot of film and a lot of like well-produced TV shows and that sort of thing. Apart from that, man, I just hang out with my friends and family and my puppy dog and I spend all that time subconsciously thinking about film and music and how they exist together and how they exist separately. So
Nice. Nice. Well, I mean, I could speak to you about film for a long time, but I know we're limited on time at the moment, so I won't delve
Yeah,
into that.
sure, we could
That's
get great
another
into it.
podcast at another time. But yeah, no, I love film. I used to work in like, well, I worked in a video shop for a long time, so I used to watch a lot of film. There's obviously extras in a couple of big movies and stuff like that, and they've just built a brand new studio just outside the town I work in, and it's bringing in. They just shot part of the new Ghostbusters movie there and stuff, so it's like a big
Oh, cool.
thing.
Nice.
So it's bringing a lot of people into the town where I work. So it's kind of cool to sort of see that happening, like you say, with the
Yeah.
the up and down that that's had. It's kind of nice to see that that has kind of still keep going basically. And then obviously, there's always gonna be a need for editors and such like yourselves, and and that's always a it's a fun job, I guess. Like, I edit audio quite a lot. I'm gonna edit that. So,
It's you gotta really sort of be married to the craft in order to take joy in it, because I mean, it can, like, dude, editing audio, in the same way editing videos, like, you can spend some hours doing something that most people would consider extremely tedious and repetitive. But
Exactly.
it's all necessary work for the cool stuff that we all end up getting to listen to and watch, you know?
Exactly. Well, Logan, thank you very much. Good luck with everything, with all the pretty things. Everyone go listen to their music now. I'll link it in the descriptions and all that kind of stuff. But thank you very much, and have a good rest of your day.
You as well. I appreciate you having me, for
No
sure.
worries at all. You have a good one. All right, man. Thank you.
Yeah, you as
Bye bye.
well.